and croeso to episode 134 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Another week, another podcast. This week, due to, unfortunately, a late dropout for Tommy Cowse, can't be helped. Life happens. So instead, we've got Welsh football's answer to Noel Edmonds and Mr. Blobby. I won't say which one's which. You can make your mind up. Yeah. It's Rodri Davies and Agent Bloody Phillips. Phillips, are you there?
I am here, loud and proud, and clear. Both, I think.
Good.
I wasn't going to do my Mr. Blobby impression.
Phillips. Oh dear. Right. We'll get into your weekend in a second. Rod, how are you? How's things?
Yeah, all good. Post night shift, so I'm down and out, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just, very tired and fatigued and more so than usual. But on we go.
Exactly. The graft never stops. No. Talking about then grafting then, Phillips, big weekend for you on the road. What have you got up to this weekend?
I didn't really take the atmospheric conditions into account. I'd planned to go on a nice little trip to Pembrokeshire. I've not really seen much football done that way.
Nice.
It's the Manderwood Pembrokeshire League. Yeah, lovely. Well, it wasn't Saturday. Okay, no. Notice to all football clubs, just a complaint from me, myself. Can you update your comment before Phillips gets in the van, please? Because, from my top secret location... Yeah, I'm not going to run about. It took me about an hour and a half to get to where I was headed. I was going to watch New Hedges and Saundersfoot United against St. Ishmael's. Just an excuse to go to Saundersfoot and fill me with chips. But I was going to go watch that, and it said it was on. And then, you know, the old van took a while to get there.
Yeah.
Tried not to stop in Carmarthen for obvious reasons.
Backfired it all the way with it.
Yeah. The flat earthers are still after me in Carmarthen, so I just couldn't stop there. When I got there then, the game was off. No sign of the game. Check Cymru football, game off. Right, looked at other teams, and they were saying they were on. But one by one, like a traffic light system, they were lighting up orange. So I didn't get to see a game. Raided around Saundersfoot for a bit. Sidesteps of rugby fans, and then just came home really.
Great, fair play.
Football-less day.
Well, there's rumours of a trip up north soon, so I guess we'll keep our ears peeled for that.
Well, I might use the powers of this radio broadcast to put an appeal out. Agent Phillips will be in the North Wales area next week. So when this radio comes out, it'll be the week after. If there's any games on the Wednesday, please let me know.
What date would that be, Phillips? Because you confused me with this week, next week.
Hold on, I'll look at my free Chinese takeaway calendar for a minute. The 7th of March. Wednesday, the 7th of March. If there's any games on up in North Wales, probably you've got a car, a van, stroke, minibus. I'll it'll take longer up the A470. Me and special guest Wrexham celebrity Tommy Cowse may attend that game. So if you'd like, he doesn't know this yet, but he's going to find out. If you want us to attend a game, let me know and I'll try my best to get there. If there's a game on that Wednesday night, I'll try and get there with Cowse. So there's a come and get me plea from Phillips.
There we
not
are.
The first you've heard, I think. Yeah.
I get more than two responses for that.
I'll just put a raffle ticket in the hat and pick it out then. But a shambolic weekend, thank you.
Good. I wouldn't have had it any other way for you, Phillips. It's what you deserve.
It's probably a most successful venture so far, but it's already fallen flat. three occasions.
We've had two great off you go, Phillips segments. Third time's a charm, as they say. Failed attempt aborted. So fingers crossed. for better as the weather gets better. We have got a bit to talk about.
Hang on. To be honest with you, I was going to do that off you go, Philip segment, despite the game off.
Yeah.
But I looked like a lunatic anyway, standing on the touchline talking into my voice recording device. And I thought if I was walking on a car park doing it, I would have got sectioned.
Yeah.
Long overdue, maybe. But yeah. So hence the lack of content this week from me. Apologies, anyone who bothers to listen to it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We won't spend too long tonight talking about the nitty-gritty of the weekend because Phillips clearly doesn't follow any mainstream football and Rodri's been on nights all weekend. Yeah. For once, Kaus was supposed to be the sense in the room. Alas, he can't be with us tonight. So we will have a chat about Friday night, Rod. Leeds. Yeah. And the Welshmen boys come through. Conor Roberts scoring against Leicester. Just becoming a weekly thing now. We're sort of lording over how great the Welsh boys are at Leeds.
Yeah, well, Conor Roberts and James were the ones who came out shining Friday night, I think. They came on and changed the game because realistically, Leeds could have been 2 or 3 nil down that second half. I think Rodon and Ampadu had the toughest game of the season, but still managed to, by some sort of luck, really keep the score down and keep Leicester out. But Conor Roberts came on, made a hell of a difference down the right, and Dan James. And yeah, both of them well. I don't think they've given Dan James the goal, but it was just a massive deflection. But both of them getting in on the act and scoring goals and Leeds still winning. And yeah, it's good to see the Welshmen boys, as I say, doing the business. And not just for Leeds, but obviously we're just talking about that game now. But yeah, really good.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
And I think there's a good chance we'll see all four playing Wednesday night as well against Chelsea. I think Conor Roberts might get his first start, you'd think, because he's been waiting patiently, and you don't change a winning team after that cameo he did Friday night. I'd anticipate him getting, well, at least the first hour.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game, that Chelsea game, considering how shit Chelsea are and, you know, how much momentum Leeds have. Intriguing. In regards to the other Welsh sides in the EFL, I say other Welsh sides as if Leeds are a Welsh team now, but they're sort of, you know, they're part of the EFL roundup these days. last week, it was Cardiff and Swansea bad, Wrexham and Newport good. This week, it's Cardiff and Swansea good, Wrexham and Newport bad. Cardiff and Swansea beat Stoke and Sunderland, respectively. Important wins for both. Cardiff now on 44 points and very much slap bang in the middle of mid-table. I reckon it's probably fair to say they're the only team in the Championship who definitely know what they're doing next season. A really important win for Swans because they were only 4 points above the drop zone going into the weekend, and pretty much everyone else around them won. It was a bit of a weird weekend, so important they got the points. And I think they played quite well, from what I heard on Call Rob. Ronald, the new
Ronald,
Brazilian winger, had a hell of a game.
Do you have to say it like that too?
That's what they were saying on Ronald. The radio. Ronald, like Ronaldo without the O, I guess.
Ronald.
Yeah, Ronald
like by.
Sounds like some. Like it sounds Ron. Like one of your players,
Ron
Phillips.
Yeah, they choose not to use my scouting network.
It's like Cow said before, it won't be long before there's like a Derwin or a Milwin playing in Brazilian with a Welsh.
Mervin. Wrexham lost again away from home, lost 1-0 to Gillingham. I think frustration is starting to kick in at Wrexham now, dropping points a lot more regularly than they were a couple of months ago, and Newport lost 3-0 to MK Dons, and by all accounts, it was probably their worst performance in a long time. But that's to be concerned about for them. And Merthyr drew 1-1 at home to Hayes and Yedin. Never know which how to say it. But they're good for
never fair playing against two sides. So.
No, Yedin. Exactly. Yedin. Their good form has stalled in recent weeks, unfortunately, but hopefully they'll re-find it soon. In the Cymru Prem, I'll rattle through some updates. Another bad week for Colwyn Bay, losing 4-0 to Ponty. I watched the game and they look miles behind Ponty. They look really poor and it's looking a bit bleak for them at the moment. Ponty, on the other hand, though, look galvanised. Gavin Allen, the controversial move to Ponty, has got 7 points from his first 9 available. And that's lifted them out of the relegation zone. Despite dropping into the relegation zone, ABBA picked up an important point away at Pennebont on Friday night. Liam Walsh scoring in injury time to nick a draw. And since we last spoke, Pennebont have had a further 3 points deducted and 30 more suspended due to admin errors on Comet. I'm sick of talking about it, really. I think we've made all the points that could possibly be made. And you'd like to think at this point now, if Pennebont don't reach seventh, it'll be because of the deduction. They definitely won't finish more than 6 points away from seventh. I'm sure of that. And you just feel for the players and Rhys Griff, really, because sort of their season and their efforts are going to be defined by stuff that's happening off the pitch.
Undermined by admin. It's like a seasonal story in the Cymru Prem, really, and unfortunately, and a lot of it's decided by admin, which is never the right way to.
Yeah, I tell you what's going to be a mental game is Pontypridd versus Aberystwyth.
Yeah, last game of the season.
That's going to be absolutely crazy. Yeah. Gavin Allen taking his Ponty side to his basic. He lives up there as well, I think.
Yeah,
he's going to have a hell of a tough time, isn't he?
Yeah.
And
what date is that? Okay, put that in the calendar.
I'm thinking about going to watch that. Off we go, Phillips.
I think it's
make sure
Sunday,
I'm off work for that.
Sunday, I don't know, something of April. I think it's one of the last Sundays in April. But yeah, that's a date for the diary. And also another date for the diary after a big, big weekend in the Cymru South is their last game of the season is Britton Ferry versus Llanelli. After Ammanford beat Britton Ferry 2-1 on the weekend and Llanelli winning, they're now bang level on points, first and second. Scorio Fruit on Twitter asked, what are your thoughts on Ammanford beating Britton Ferry 2-1 on the weekend to keep the promotion race wide open? And yeah, Ammanford now, all of a sudden, they've been on a good run of form. They're 3 points behind. And what looked like Britton Ferry running away with it for a long period of time has turned into a three-way title race. So that's very exciting. And the fact that Britton Ferry and Llanelli play each other on the last day of the season will be very exciting.
21st of April is the Abba Ponty game. So, I'm off work, so that's lovely.
Driving then?
Yeah. Get the truck revved up.
Get it going. And then by the time you hear this, Wales women will have already played the Republic of Ireland. Let's hope it's a positive result. We'll catch up with Megan next week to go to get the lowdown on the game. But in the meantime, Wales have announced a new manager, Rhian Wilkinson, a Canadian-born manager, formerly of Portland Thorns. She won the NWSL. She's been assistant at England, Canada. Even think she took Team GB to the Olympics as assistant, but we don't talk about them. So that's exciting. And Megan has sent us a voice note explaining a bit about her and what we should know. So you can hear that now.
Right. I'm walking through Cardiff and I've been interrupted by a seagull, a car, a crying baby. So we're just going to get on with it. And if there's noises in the background, that's okay. So Wales women have now hired Rhian Wilkinson as their new head coach, which is incredibly exciting and honestly very impressive from the FAW. I didn't entirely expect this level of signing. Maybe that's just the sort of growing cynic inside of me, but this is a really, really good acquisition. She comes with a lot of experience, both as a player and a manager, but most importantly, an experience in winning. She's obviously won 2 bronze medals with Canada at the Olympics. She's competed in 5 World Cups. She knows what it takes to qualify for major tournaments. She's won an NWSL title in her only season with the Portland Thorns, which is no mean feat to be able to do that. She finished second in the regular season and then went on to obviously lift the title, which is, you know, for someone coming in their first season, being able to immediately revel in success. That's exactly what Wales need. So she's got a good track record in doing that. She also has an incredible track record in youth programs. She's been involved with England and Canada. We all sort of know how good they've done in terms of you know, having a lot of talent in their youth squads and bringing them into the senior squad. So that's something that she's going to bring to Wales. And it was one of the criticisms levied at Gemma, that she wasn't doing that enough. You know, we've seen John Gray bring in a lot of youth talent into the team, but whether or not you can genuinely incorporate that talent, get them involved, that's the next step. And I think Rhiann's going to be really good at that. So for players like Elise Hughes, Fionn Morgan, that can only be a good thing. So I'm really excited. Obviously, she's out in the NWSL, or she was out in the NWSL. So she would know a lot about Jess Fishlock. She'd know about Ankara James. Those are only going to be pluses when it comes to how you sort of do this team. But I think in general, I think her acquisition shows that there's still a pull about being involved with this team, about helping them reach a major tournament for the first time. You know, a lot of people who I spoke to privately, they might have said that maybe it wasn't going to be a pull. You know, who would want to come when it felt like this might be an impossibility, or there might be limited or whatever. But there still seems to be something exciting about this challenge, and it should be exciting. And I think Rhiann Wilkinson is going to do. I don't want to put a bunch of pressure on her, hype her up too much, but it is a very, very good signing.
For all the excitement around Rhiann Wilkinson, it does need to be noted that she comes with a slight controversy, which is that the year in which she won the NWSL title with the Portland Thorns, she subsequently stepped down from the position after she was investigated for a potentially inappropriate relationship with a current player, former teammate of hers. It's worth noting that she was the one that went to the NWSL and the Portland Thorns about the inappropriate relationship in the first place. Once she understood that the feelings were reciprocal between the two, she let management know. There was a subsequent investigation and she was cleared of all charges. However, a lot of players within the Portland Thorns club still felt uneasy about it. There were still tensions. I do believe this played a part in the fact that Rhiann Wilkinson stepped down from her position. She intimated in a number of interviews that she had lost the dressing room. You know, this is a controversy that shouldn't be swept under the rug, but at the same time, it is worth noting that she was cleared of all charges. Anyone will know that in football, things aren't always what they seem. But the FAW would have done their due diligence. They would have spoken to players first and foremost about the hiring if they had felt uncomfortable by it. They would have brought this up with Rhiann Wilkinson herself, because she hasn't coached since that incident. So this is something just to keep in mind. This is in no way suggestive of her character or anything like that, but these are facts. So it is definitely worth just keeping that in mind.
Thank you very much, Megan. Is insightful as ever. And finally, we look ahead to the Finland game, which is slowly creeping up on us. It was confirmed this week that Aaron Ramsey will likely miss the game with a fresh calf injury. Rod, it's devastating, of course. But in a way, could we maybe see it as a blessing in disguise, seeing as how many players we've got going for those attacking positions? Or is that absolutely stupid to say?
Yeah, I wouldn't say blessing, because it's never a blessing not to have Rambo available. But let's be honest, he's played fuck all for months now, has he? So he wouldn't have been up to speed, I don't think. So maybe it makes the decision easier for Page. He probably would have felt obliged to start him in a big game, not even taking into consideration his fitness. But yeah, it takes that decision out of his hands now, and it's probably, like you say, it's probably bit of a bonus in terms of the fact that we've got plenty of options now across those like front field positions. So yeah, I'd be more concerned if Ampadu or Jordan James get injured, because they're like, we've seen Ramsey play in that position before and he's not as effective there, and there's no one else that can do that job for us as well, especially with Joe Morel out. So it's a big blow, but it's not there's a few more vital positions I think we can't afford to lose. So on that front, I'm still room for optimism, I think. Unfortunate that it's just the way it's gone for Ramsey in it, last few years.
Yeah,
of niggles and
It's not as devastating as it would have been,
not.
Is it, 3 4 years ago? So I guess there is that to fall back on. Phillips, has Ken Cow got any spare animal limbs that maybe we could pop on Aaron?
What's he up to these days?
What? I'll give you an update on him next week. what did he say? He said his calf.
Yeah. A baby cow.
Yeah, so calf.
Yeah, calf. Okay, baby cow. Can you directly transplant that? I don't know. Yeah. It'd be a bit of a hindrance from it.
He won't be able to fucking get up the stairs then, will he? That's what they say about cows, isn't
it? I don't know.
Yeah, they can't walk up steps. Is that a thing?
I think so. It's either up or down.
What?
Cows can't get up or downstairs.
Who the fuck's trying to put a cow up some stairs?
Yeah, probably that fucking cat on social media.
What? A cow
upstairs? Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah. Oh, fucking hell, was it? I've never heard such nonsense. Well, you're going to lift for a cow, is it?
I don't know.
Anyway,
it's something I've
heard. No, I'll give Ken Cow a fax later, see what he's up to. But Ramsey will be a miss, won't he? But I think more for opposition teams may see it as bigger miss than maybe we do.
Yeah, that's a good point, Phillips. Actually,
a name, isn't he? They'll think, oh, Ramsey's not there. But realistically speaking, he's been in and out for the last couple of years, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I'm almost taken aback by.
Yeah,
that point there.
Refreshing to hear some sense go out your mouth.
Yeah,
I bang my head to lazy.
Going up the stairs.
Yeah, chasing a cow.
Yeah.
Well, the game is coming. Is closing in on us. I don't know when the squad announcement is. It'll probably be the week after next, I imagine. But yeah, let's fingers crossed that there's no more injuries between now and then, because I don't think my brain can handle it at this late stage. That's our weekly roundup, shambolically run through. We've got an important conversation next. Last week, I caught up with Aled Lewis, who is a director of the Cymru Football Foundation. They're a charitable arm of the FAW. They're their own entity, but work with the FAW to sort of help clubs in Wales improve their facilities. It's a really interesting chat about the work they do. So you can have a listen to that next before we're back in part two for our game and some of your questions. I'm really pleased to welcome Aled Lewis, Director of the Cymru Football Foundation, to the podcast. Aled, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Pleasure to be on.
Good stuff. Yeah, so let's have a chat about what you do at the Cymru Football Foundation, what it's all about. So first of all, tell us, you know, what is the Cymru Football Foundation?
Yeah, it's a great question, because we're relatively new. We were established about 18 months ago with a specific remit and purpose to invest and develop football facilities. We evolved from the FAW Trust, which many listeners would have heard of in terms of the work they did around coach education and talent development, as well as the grassroots game. And there was obviously a change in Welsh football following the Sustainable Association for the Future report. That enabled the repurposing of the FAW Trust to become the Cymru Football Foundation. And given the size and scale of our facility needs and the challenges that we face across our facilities, it was felt that the Cymru Football Foundation sort of remit should be purely focused around improving our facility landscape.
So obviously you've had a number of projects already that you've managed. Astrid Gunlice, FC, RTB Ebu Vale and Saltney Town are three. Could you talk us about a bit about, you know, what you did at those clubs and how you've helped them?
Yeah. They're three great examples, because they sort of cover the three funding programmes that we've delivered since we launched 18 months ago. So if we start with Astrid Gunlice, they're a fantastic club. Sort of right on the border, but sort of in Powys technically, but very, very close to sort of Neath Port Talbot. Got a great junior section and a real sort of thriving, growing girls sort of section as well. And they have been managing a community centre essentially for a number of years in the town. And there was an opportunity to establish a small-sided 3G pitch connected to that community centre to enable a great training venue for the club and its teams, but also enable a wider community engagement linked to the work that they do at the community centre as well. So we invested over 200,000 in developing a small-sided 3G pitch, where there was also support from Sport Wales to deliver that project as well. And yeah, that pitch opened last summer and has been a huge success. And it's an example of what we want to deliver in a number of clubs across the country, to enable clubs to probably take a little bit more ownership of their training schedules, and having the facilities all year round, and an all weather type facility with floodlights that enables them to train on a quality surface all year round. So that's been a real flagship project for us, and a great example of what can be achieved through our clubs, and some, and particularly all weather pitches are, it can, the current climate are obviously a huge asset to enable people to continue to play the game. And then Saltney Town, a really, really interesting one. And North East Wales, if people don't know where Saltney is, they've had real challenges and problems with vandalism and antisocial behaviour, unfortunately, on their facilities. And what we were able to support them with was perimeter fencing that actually protected the club's assets and the club's facilities itself. So actually, we didn't necessarily develop anything related to the club's facilities that were sort of in day-to-day use, but actually we enabled the club to actually protect their own assets and the work that they've done over the years to develop their facilities by erecting that perimeter fencing. And actually the impact that's had has been huge, because the club aren't having to shell out on repair work all every couple of months, and it's not damaging the club's facilities, which is impacting the experiences of the players and supporters at the club as well. That's maybe seemingly quite a small sort of project and a small example, but one that has such a big impact. And then the final one, RTB Ebbw Vale, came from our sustainability fund, and they were supported with a grant to install solar energy on site, and that has had a huge impact in reducing the energy bills and the energy usage that the club were using, but also it's obviously reduced the carbon emissions as well, which is obviously a huge focus for us in terms of our work and how we can contribute to the climate challenge that we face, and how we can, through facility investment, enable more environmentally friendly facilities as well.
Great, yeah, it's fascinating. Obviously, the work you do, and I think it goes unnoticed. Last week, the Facility Vision for the Future was launched. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. So it's been a big piece of work over many months, but we felt that we wanted to set out our vision for facilities across our club landscape, but also sort of more community hub type facilities, particularly sort of the multi-grass pitch sites that we've got that are so important to enable people to play matches, particularly on a weekend, all the way through to our national facilities as well, that we sort of set out what we wanted to achieve and what we wanted our facilities to look like. We also wanted it to highlight the size and scale of the facility challenge that we face at the moment, and the size and scale of the investment needs of the game in Wales. There has been a lack of investment in football facilities over many years, so we are starting at a pretty low position, and there's a long, long way to go. Even though we, as a Cymru Football Foundation, have invested 9 million in 18 months, that is a drop in the ocean compared to the size and scale of what we face and what we need to address the issues that we face. And it's also important that we set out our vision around issues such as, environmentally friendly facilities and sustainable facilities, but also the growing demand for the game amongst women and girls, and how that influences the look and feel of our facilities moving forward, and also the number of them, because we know that a lot of our facilities are at capacity already, and the growing demand amongst our women and girls game is only going to accentuate that demand for existing facilities. So the number of facilities need to grow, as well as improving the quality of existing ones as well.
So what is the next 5 years look like, the next 10 years look like? What is the ultimate goal, really, of the Cymru Football Foundation?
Essentially, to put it really simply, is to deliver against the vision that we've set out last week around contributing to the facility landscape across Wales to improve the quality of the existing and developing new. And over the next 5 years, I hope that we'll continue to make strides in improving those existing facilities as well as developing more new ones. But in 5 years, we won't be able to address all of the challenges that we face, and we've got to be realistic. We can certainly make a significant contribution to the issues that we face, but it is a real long-term issue and something that will only really be solved over a longer-term period, probably looking at 10, 15, 20 years realistically, given the size and scale of the investment needs that were outlined in the facility vision itself. But as an organization, we want to continue to make a real positive difference to communities. That's our mission. We know that the power of football and the size of football means that it's embedded in every community across Wales. And through facility investment and development, we can enable people to have a better experience of football, but also those facilities can be used as community assets as well and enable better partnerships between football and other sports, but also other organizations within those communities as well.
Do you have any other projects that are currently on the go? Is there anything you can talk about, or is there just stuff down the line that that will hopefully, take off soon?
Yeah, so we've got our facility program, which is our large capital program of funding, is currently open for applications at the moment. It's actually due to close at the end of March. It's been open since October, so we've had a real big window to discuss potential projects with prospective applicants and map out what type of projects are coming in. And we've had a huge level of interest, as you can imagine, from clubs and other organisations to develop their facilities. And by the sort of after March, we'll have a better idea of what specifically has been applied for. But they will, particularly our facility programme, sort of falls under three key strands, really. It's either looking at upgrading or developing new artificial pitches, upgrading or developing new grass pitches, and then our clubhouse and changing room facilities that we know are of a really poor standard generally at the moment. So there is a huge level of interest across those three areas amongst our clubs and other organisations. There are some really exciting projects that I'd love to be in a position to talk to you about, but we can't maybe just yet. But you will hear about them through our website and our communications and social media channels when we're in a position to share which projects have been supported and which ones that we will be investing in and supporting their development. I think that the real good opportunity for me is if we're looking at, artificial pitches like the ones at Ystra Gunlais. We've had a lot of interest in similar projects, which is really, really exciting for me because it enables more sustainable and stronger clubs as a result, which is one of our key goals and something that I think everybody that would be listening would resonate with and recognize the importance of. And if it enables clubs to be stronger, more sustainable organizations, then it's something that we certainly will try our best to support.
Absolutely. Obviously, I'm sure you very well know the challenges that come with this sort of thing and dealing with local councils and local residents and anyone around the facilities and growing them. What is the biggest challenges for yourself and the clubs to sort of get these things over the line and deliver them?
How long have we got? No, they're generally summarized around are a sort of three main areas. It's the availability of partner funding and other funding outside of the Cymru Football Foundation to enable the project to happen. We recognize that particularly our clubs, they're not going to be in a position to invest 50, 100,000 pounds of their own funding because they just simply don't have that level of funding into a project. So it's their ability to access funding from local authorities, from other organisations such as Sport Wales to contribute to the cost of the project that we will obviously mainly majority fund. And in the current climate, that is a challenge at the moment. Budgets obviously being cut at local authority level, at Welsh Government level. So that is a challenge in itself. Planning and a scheme called the Sustainable Drainage Scheme, which may a lot of people might not be aware of. But those two sort of compliance elements of a project that are actually huge challenges for projects to gain approval and really progress, because without that they simply just can't happen. It's a legal aspect of any development to gain those approvals. So often they are challenges that we face, and also the sort of community consultation, which is a really important aspect of any project development, is actually what does the community want? What does the football club critically want? And how have they consulted with their football club members? How have they consulted with the wider community to determine what the needs are, what they want the facilities to look like, what the design of the facility, what specific facilities need to be developed, and actually then how that influences the nature of the project that they're looking to develop and apply for. And often with our clubs in particular, they're voluntary organisations that have got a number of responsibilities within that club. So, having the time to really develop a project of the size of Ystrad Gyrnlais, for example, takes a lot of time and a lot of work. So, I think the sort of capacity of our volunteer network is also a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, this is a charity. It's linked to the FAW, but we're talking big sums of money that are needed here. Where does the funding tend to come from?
Yeah, so just on the connection with the FAW, so we are an independent charity, but we have representatives from the FAW on our board of trustees. We have a formal agreement with the FAW in relation to funding, but also in terms of how we work together and roles and responsibilities. But actually, interestingly, our vision as an organisation, Inspirational and Fit for Future Facilities, is one of the FAW's six strategic goals in the Our Wales strategy. So there's a huge connection between our work and essentially we are contributing to the FAW achieving one of its key strategic goals. The funding we get, as I mentioned, we do get some funding from the FAW. A lot of that has been on the back of the success of the national team, which is great because it highlights the power and the importance of the national team's success and how that trickles down and impacts on the grassroots and community game. And obviously the qualification for the World Cup is a real life example of that. We're also in receipt of funding from UK government as well as support from Sport Wales, and we're just about to agree a partnership with the Premier League as well for some funding to contribute to our work. So we've got a range of different partners, and we're very fortunate to be in that position that we can access funding to deliver investment into Wales. I think the key thing for us as we move forward is that investment continues to enable us to continue our work as well.
I mean, saying that, it really hammers home how important stuff like qualifying for major tournaments is then. It's not just great for the team and success on the pitch and the fans get a nice trip out of it. There's real life help that comes from qualifying for those tournaments, and just hammers home how important, the playoffs will be next month.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, it's the ultimate legacy that your qualification brings. And particularly, I mean, I would say this because I'm a bit biased, but facilities is the biggest legacy you could leave because it's a tangible asset that is in a particular community on the back of a specific event. So the qualification for the World Cup was hugely significant for Wales on a number of levels. But it certainly provided the catalyst for the Cymru Football Foundation to be set up, really. And then without putting too much more pressure on the players next month, qualification for the Euros in the summer will provide a similar platform to ensure that we can continue our work and invest in our communities. But the players are very aware of that, and we do quite a bit of work just to make them understand the impact of, their role as players and qualification, and the impact that has on the community game and what we're able to do. So they're fully aware of it, but also they've got their own motivations and the driving force is obviously to ensure that we all get to Germany and do our best to sort of do Wales proud over the next few months.
Absolutely. Let's hope that that we are successful next month and you can carry on doing the good work you're doing. So how can people find out more, whether they're involved with a club and want to sort of help, want some help with their facilities or just, you know, someone who's interested in your work? How can they find out a bit more?
Yeah, so the two best ways to find out about our work and maybe understand a little bit more about maybe the sort of success of our investment, as well as understand a bit more maybe about the funding programs, is to go onto our website, cff.cymru, and also follow us on socials as well at Cymru FDN. You know, they'll have a real good insight of this type of investment we've made, the impact that investment has had, but also you know, what funding we'll provide through our investment programs as well. So that's probably the best way to find out a little bit more. And we've also got a great team within the foundation that will help prospective applicants and discuss projects with them and guide them through the process as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for your time, Aled. Diolch yn fawr.
Gwych, diolch yn fawr.
Welcome back to part two. Very interesting chat there with Aled, and now from a very interesting chat to whatever the hell this segment is going to throw up. We're going to start with our lineup game. I've picked an absolute belter from the past. Phillips, I think this is right up your street. It was the 25th of March, 1998, at Ninian Park. It was a 0-0 draw with none other than Jamaica.
Can we do the Jamaica team?
I was going to say, interesting.
Dion Burton.
You could also do the Jamaica team.
Oh, yeah.
You could do both Wales and Jamaica, and we'll see how far we can go.
Yeah.
25th of March, 98. I feel like this is very much in both of your wheelhouses.
Extended pod this week, then.
Yeah. So you can go opposition as well, because I think that Jamaica team is pretty iconic, isn't it? Because it qualified for the World Cup. I didn't know this happened, this game. This is sort of slightly just before I was conscious enough to know what was going on.
Tuesday night, I think it was.
There we are, then.
He knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff.
Worrying.
Yeah, worrying. Phillips, I think you... Did you win last time? I can't remember. In the three-way?
Yeah, I played once.
We did the three-way, didn't we? Not like that, obviously.
Obviously.
No. Not enough room in the van, man. no, I dropped out first, I think.
Oh, no, yeah, Kaus won that against all odds.
Yeah, of course Phillips didn't win.
Yeah, no. Shock.
Cam Shafter's one of your guesses.
Taking part in the count of it.
Yeah.
Chassis.
100% effort. Yeah.
Seeing as you're both, neither of you deserve to go first, I'll flip a plectrum. Do you want the turtle side or the blank side?
I let Phillips choose.
One of the turtle.
Go turtle. The turtle head. Oh, shit. It's the turtle. Do you want to go first or second, Phillips?
Second.
Oh, mind games.
I've chosen that.
Go on, Enrod. Kick us off.
Right. I'm going to... Yeah, should I go for Jamaica first?
Yeah.
What if I get it wrong?
Yeah, good.
Okay, there's a man, Theodore Whitmore.
No, Theodore Whitmore didn't feature in the starting lineup.
Oh, shit.
He wasn't on the bench either, Rod. I don't know where you've got that one from.
No, Christ. I don't know, but he's one of the players I remember. Sure.
Didn't he play Phillips?
Peter Cargill played in midfield for Jamaica.
He did, correct. 1-0. Go on then, Rod.
Yeah. I just went to Jamaicans now. Right. Robbie Earl must have started.
He did indeed.
He's a Welsh football podcast.
Very good. Very good. Go on then, Phillips.
Don't know why I went with Whitmore first.
Which of Jamaica, eh? And Andy Lowe, did he play?
Came on as a sub, which doesn't count yet. But funnily enough, he came on the 76th minute and got sent off on the 81st. So great sub appearance.
What a play.
But a good effort, Phillips, but no dice. That is one all after two each. Go on then, Rod.
Marcus Gale.
Marcus Gale. he was on the bench, came on as a sub at half.
Ah, for fuck's sake.
So no dice. Phillips.
Can we do just Jamaicans for the first round and then
then we'll do Wales next then.
What did you say in the first round?
Robbie Earl. He played for
I've said that.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's done it already.
Oh fuck.
You're out.
Fuck off.
Only Jamaicans are this
shit. Oh my god. Fucking Jamaicans. Oh, Frank Sinclair.
No. No, didn't feature in not even
what
on the bench.
Fuck? Damn. No.
So Rod, sudden death, Jamaica squad.
Yeah. Paul Hall.
Paul Hall played. Well done. All right, Ben Phillips.
Richard and Diamonds.
I know.
Someone's Walter been mentioned. Someone's been Walter Boyd. No. No sign of Walter Boyd. Well done, Rod.
Oh,
you win.
No.
You win round
Jamaica
one,
round.
Jamaica.
Can I throw out a few more names? Or...
If you want.
Who was
Dion Burton in the side?
Dion Burton started, yeah.
Donovan Ricketts, was he the keeper?
Aaron
Lawrence.
That's later on.
Was the keeper. Aaron Lawrence.
Jamie Lawrence.
Christopher Dawes. Ian Goodison. Stephen Malcolm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Cargill, Robbie Earl, Ricardo Gardiner.
Bloody hell, man.
Fitzroy Simpson, Paul Hall.
Fitzroy, man.
Dion Burton, and Linval Dixon.
Oh, Linval, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that name.
Lin
the Leap.
Yeah, great effort there, boys on Jamaica. Really good, really, really good. So let's go. Let's do Wales
watch
now.
How bad this is with the Wales here.
Yeah, not going to be very good yet. Yeah.
Rod, you won. You can go first.
So, yeah, Big John Hartson.
Correct.
Phillips. Come on. Yeah.
Mark Pembridge.
Correct. One all.
I'll go. Darren Bernard.
Correct. Great shout, Rod.
I'll go, John Robinson.
No.
Oh.
Oh.
Right then, Rod, to go to All double left. Up.
Gary Speed.
Correct. That was a very 4-4-2 effort from you there, Rod. Just... Big hit.
To,
one, two, three. Well, Darren Bernard was. The Wales 11 was Paul Jones, Darren Bernard, Chris Coleman, Steve Jenkins, Adrian Williams, John Oster, Mark Pembridge, Robbie Savage, Gary Speed, John Hartson, and Gareth Taylor. Very, very
so
good.
Fucking
well done, Rod. Good.
My league team.
Good good double from you there. Good double from you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Right. We'll do a few questions to finish off. There's a few questions on the new women's manager. Obviously, hopefully Megan answered any questions you had about her in her voice note. If not, we'll do a deeper dive now, either next week or the week after. There's one about Lord Jacob Rothschild. Has he gone to heaven or hell? Probably best not to comment on these sort of things. Yeah, I don't know enough about him. I just know the Rothschilds aren't really the greatest of people.
I just hear rumors, conspiracies. That's all I know about him.
I had a good conspiracy yesterday.
Oh, go on then.
Here we go.
Why can't you fly over Antarctica? People reckon there's you're not allowed to fly over because there's a different country down there. You're not allowed to see.
All right. Not because it's cold as shit. And
bollocks, if you crash it.
Terrible weather.
Big idiots. Conspiracies. New conspiracies in the Church League against my team.
Right, Lady Pixie. She says, just to say it's my 12th birthday on Thursday. Any chance of a happy birthday from you all? First person I've ever known to be born on the 29th of Feb. So a very happy 12th birthday from me, Lady Pixie.
Aye, fair play. I can't believe that, miss.
Yeah, not long before you're gonna have a legal pint.
Yeah.
Just
Try your driving lessons in 16 years.
yeah.
Yeah.
Just the 24 more years until you can have a pint. Yeah, all the best. All the
Yeah. Remember
best.
that, Miss Mauer.
Yeah. Cymru Premier Enjoyer says, if you could handpick 16 teams to be in the new Cymru Prem, who would they be? I think this is a can of worms that I didn't want to open, but I've just opened it.
I think we've done something like this before, haven't we?
Yeah, just
We
think about
have,
the
yeah.
first Gornica League, Welsh League. Read about the
Yeah.
first Welsh Premier League from
Get
like 1992 and just go with that.
Cefais Bay, Maesteg
Yeah.
Park back in Abergavenny
Yeah.
Thursdays.
Ebbw Vale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
Yeah,
yeah.
RTB. Bloody, yeah, get into Cabletel back. Yeah.
Milford Borough or something.
Caersws may as well join in.
Yeah.
Cumbrae
Yeah.
Town. Yeah.
Get the gang back together.
Yeah, all the classics.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, we'll like I said, hopefully in the coming weeks/months, depending on when I can sort it
I
out, we're going
did.
to do a deeper dive into the Cymru Prem and
Yeah.
how we want to fix it. We'll do the fans' view, I guess.
I did see someone replied to the question with AC Milan, Wisla
Yeah.
Krakow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Handpick some teams like, yeah. Yeah. Chuck Celtic in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Do they
Yeah,
have
mate.
to play their
Yeah.
games in Wales?
Yeah. Can throw in the football team as well. Just for a nice away trip there.
Well, my
Yeah.
team. Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
no, don't be stupid.
Carmarthen Flat Earthers, they deserve a spot.
The ground is currently bombed, so it's down. Yeah.
Right. This is his first. Andrew Dowling has sent a note because it was too long to type on Twitter. So here we go.
God.
I haven't actually read this properly. I've been given the all clear to run again after 10 months off due to a meniscus tear. I'm seeking advice from Ryan, one of the greatest managers ever, who has helped many a player. All right. Rodri, who must be one of the best self-endorsed physios for ailments, and Kaus, but in this case, Phillips, one of the world-class footballers of his generation. In your opinion, what's the best shorts and boxer brand combo to stop chafing in the groins? Now, Phillips, I think you're a man who knows a lot about chafing. How would you set up in the groin area to avoid it?
Well, the old chub rub, you mean, like?
I'm not suggesting that at all.
Right. What I would say is get a pair of wife fronts from get a pair of wife fronts because they
From where?
from
You were about to say where?
yeah. I don't know where sell
Lost
them.
and
I
found.
guarantee you Marks and Spencer's will sell wife fronts. And
Yeah.
then get a pair of like the Hummel shorts from the 1980s,
Yeah.
like the ones that Wales play, the really short ones, because the less material, the less chafing.
So wise.
So I
So
expect to see
wise.
Andrew Dowling running up and down the Rhondda with a short, way too small for him. Yeah,
Perfect. Rod,
like
any advice?
John Barnes in the 80s. Not really. Don't wear anything too loose.
No, great advice.
Yeah, I don't know. I do look like I've run much recently. Must be some sort of cream or talcum powder or something you could use. But yeah,
Yeah,
again,
well,
what are you going to say now?
preempting the chafing already.
Well, you've got to, like, again, it's better to be proactive than reactive, mate. That's what I always go by. So,
Yeah, that's a good.
yeah.
Cover yourself in
No,
cooking
Dowling,
oil
I
and
haven't got
run
any
naked.
legitimate advice. Yeah.
Yeah, no one about an island where he's from.
Yeah. My go-to lovely pair of New Balance sort of briefs. They're like boxers, but not loose.
Women's knickers.
Yeah. Yeah. A thong underneath and some
Thong,
Sondico
yeah. Thong from
cycling
someone from the
shorts.
office. Yeah.
Sontikos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like
Just
Nigel Martin in the
yeah.
90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What shorts you can get from Sports Direct that you get an electric shock from?
Sam asks, I need a run-up for this. How much wood would Wes Burns burn if Wes Burns could burn wood? Phillips, thoughts?
3 hectares.
There we are. Good stuff. What else have we got?
I think.
we'll leave Liam Geraghty's one for when Kaus is on. I feel like we need Kaus for that one. Boosh, here he is. My word, this is an all-time low from Boosh. An all-time low. That's when you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you, sang Simon and Garfunkel in a caring but melancholic style. I fear the bay may not stay up. So what's troubling you? Dr. Boosh will see you now. Warning, I'm terribly indiscreet.
Well, he breaches patient confidentiality is all that tells me.
Yeah. Like 10 cows, basically.
I honestly, I'm not even going to answer it. Boosh, have a look at yourself. A long, hard look at yourself.
What's he asked?
What's troubling you?
What's troubling me?
Yeah.
What's troubling me? People trying to get cows upstairs.
Anything troubling you, Rod?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, always plenty, but nothing that's going to, you know, get in the way of things that aren't troubling me.
Yeah. The existential threat of nuclear war.
Yeah, that, all that. Yeah, the there's always that back of my mind that I'm going to wake up, open the curtains, and there's a mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
It's just something I got to live with. It's my doom merchant nature. But, generally everything's all right. Just tired, isn't it?
It would be incredible, you know, for the first nuclear bomb to be dropped on a civilian population in 80 years would be dropped in Carmarthenshire, I got to say.
Well, there was a talk of Seni Bridge being on the Russian hit list. Yeah, the so-called second on the list was the rumours. But
I thought that was a well-known fact. it goes Buckingham Palace, Seni Bridge, GCHQ.
I have heard the rumour that if you drop a nuclear bomb on a petrol station, it doubles the explosion. So,
and then it quadruples the price of petrol.
Yeah.
And finally, a trivia question from the Podfather. He says, Stan Bowles, who passed away this week, scored his only international goal for England against Wales. But in which year? A bonus point for naming the ground where the game was played. Anyone want to take a punt?
It's Ninian Park, wasn't it?
It is Ninian Park. Yeah, well done. Phillips with the knowledge.
I'm going to say I'll have a go 1972.
Not quite. Rod?
I was thinking 75 for some reason.
Not quite either. 1974. In Ninian Park, Stan Bowles scored his only England goal. Rest in peace, Big Stan. I don't know if he was known as Big Stan, but he is now.
Bowley.
Yeah,
Bowley boy. Right, that'll do for tonight. I think we pulled it out considering we lost Kaus late in the day. Phillips, thank you. Thank you ever so much for standing in. You've been a pleasure. Anything you need to say before you go?
No, just to reiterate that I will be up in the North Wales area next week. So 7th of March is the next month.
Yep.
Yeah, 7th of March. If anyone knows of a game that I can go and watch, I'll drag Tommy Kaus along with me. Please let us know. Let any of us know. And I'll try my best to get along to that game. Other than that... No, I think look after yourselves,
Buzz. Excited.
Yourselves.
Rod, anything from you? And do you want to think of a track on the spot?
Oh, yeah, I had this in my head last time you asked me, but I didn't think of it. But I remember that song, Oi Mosh. Do that. Play that.
Yes, please.
I can't remember who it's by. Phillips might know.
Oh, he's a comedian, isn't he?
Paul Allen, something like that.
Downhill rap, innit?
Yeah. Paul Allen is, rings a bell, is
yeah,
it?
Mike,
Something like that.
yeah.
Oh, fuck. I remember Ellis talking about him on something before. It says toners here.
It was a song that me and my brother back in the day, we burnt it off LimeWire.
Yeah.
And put it on one of them CDs.
Really
and
good
it was
stuff.
a regular song in the car trips. Yeah, it's the
Paul
one
Allen.
song my mum, when we were younger, didn't mind flat out swearing. Yeah.
Yeah,
It was
Paul
quite
Allen,
funny.
very good. Yeah, great show. Rod, any trucking advice?
No, I've just, yeah, it's just been working night shifts, so it's good advice to just don't over-caffeinate yourself. And
yeah, that road back from Halifax is the best bit, isn't
yeah,
it?
horrible. Yeah, I just, yeah, keep get those lay-bys, seem to get rested in those lay-bys. And I'll reiterate that if you're driving past a trucker in a lay-by, dip your headlights. Come on, Christ's
Yeah.
sake, they're trying to
Nice.
kip there. Yeah, that's all I got on that front. Yeah.
Good stuff. And of course, a
Nothing,
reminder
nothing
from me,
else.
at the top of the show, I forgot for a change, but subscriptions are out now. Pre-orders for Alternative Wales issue 13 are out now. It's the best way to support the pod. And we're going to have a little documentary alongside it about football in Bretalbot, in the wake of the news of the job losses in the steelworks. It's going to be really, really good. So keep an eye on our social media for all the information on that. Thank you again, Phillips. Thank you, Rod. Thank you, everyone who listened. And this is Oi Mush to play us out. Speak to you next week.
So he's called Town Hill Rap.
Standing there, picking up my teeth when a landlord comes around. Oh, you little bastard, he said, who owes me £40. He throws me up against the wall and tries to grab my gyro. So I kicked that bastard in the balls and stabbed him with my biro and said, oh, mush, back off. Who do you think you are? Don't you look at me like that, I'll do him fucking car. I said, oh, mush, back off. Who do you think you are? You money grab.